Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 73. Te vayam nodita sarve praja sarge pradesh praje praja. No, just praja ishvara. Anena dvasta tamasa sisrikshama sisrikshma vivida praja tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sisrikshmo vivida praja tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sisrikshmo vivida praja. Tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sishrikshma vivida praja vayam vivida sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sishrikshma vivida praja vayam nodita sarve dasarge pradeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sishrikshma vivida praja tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sishrikshma vivida praja tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sishrikshma vivida praja. Ladies. Tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvara anena dvasta tamasa sisrikshma vivida praja tevayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa sisrikshma vivida praja te by him vayam all of us, nodita, ordered, sarve, all, praja sarge, at the time of creating population, praja ishvara, the controllers of all living entities, anena, by this, dvasta, tamasa, being freed from all kinds of ignorance. Sisrikshma, we created Vivida, various kinds of Praja, living entities. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. Please repeat. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. So who's speaking this prayer? Guess again. Who? Lord Brahma, yes, Lord Brahma. And what did he just say? What's the translation of the verse? Hello? What's that? No. Yeah, something like that. So when all the Prajapatis were ordered by Lord Brahma to create, then they chanted these prayers, and by doing them, by chanting them, they became free from all ignorance. And therefore they were able to create the different types of living entities. So who can say that whole thing again? Shastrakrit. Tell us what the translation is. Who are they ordered to create by? Okay. What prayers? What were the prayers about? Okay. Take a little more of a look at the book. Got to get closer, you'll see better. What else? What happened there? Why? What was that? Say it louder. What's that? Lord Brahma. Yeah, well, first it was spoken by Lord Brahma. Lord Shiva is speaking, but the what's being described here, the prayers were spoken by Lord Brahma first.
Well, the entire prayer was spoken to Lord Brahma?
No, Lord Brahma first spoke to, yeah.
But Lord Shiva is the one speaking here.
Yeah, but he's speaking the prayers by Brahma. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so of course Lord Shiva is speaking but he's speaking about prayers spoken by Lord Brahma. Okay. What else? There's only a few thoughts here. One of them is that when these prayers were spoken by, you know, when all the Prajapatis were ordered by Lord Brahma to create, then we chanted these prayers, which were in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, we became free from all ignorance, and therefore, we were able to create all living entities. So first, they had to chant the prayer. These are authorized prayers by Lord Brahma. By chanting, because they were ordered to create, but before they could create, they chanted these prayers. By chanting the prayers, they became free from ignorance, and after becoming free from ignorance, they were able to create. It's not that they were ordered by Lord Brahma and they said, let's do something creative. We're not going to make the same old giraffe. We're going to make a giraffe with no neck on it. This is boring. Every millennium, we got to create these things again. Let's do something creativity. Pink and white giraffe. No, they chanted prayers, and then they became free from ignorance. After becoming free from ignorance, then they became qualified to create. So the creation is not done by people on LSD. It's done by intelligent people, if you haven't noticed yet. Purport. In this verse, we can understand that various types of living entities were created simultaneously at the very beginning of the creation. The nonsensical Darwinian theory of evolution is not applicable here. It is not that intelligent human beings did not exist millions of years ago. On the contrary, it is understood that the most intelligent creature, Lord Brahma, was first created. Lord Brahma created other saintly sages like Varichi, Bhrigu, Atreya, Vashistha, and Lord Shiva. They in their turn created different types of bodies according to karma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev told his mother that the living entity gets a particular type of body in accordance with his work and that this body is decided upon by higher authorities. Daiva Naitrena. Naitrena means what? Does anyone know? Yeah, what does Netra mean? Eyes. By the eyes. Yeah, they actually see what's going on. They have the vision because they are able to hear properly. In other words, before we can see what's actually taking place, we have to first hear. Daivi Naitrena, but the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, Upadrasta Namanta Cha, Bharta Maheshvara, Paramatmeti Chapyuto, Dehesmin Purushapara. Yet there is another person inside of ourselves who is known as Upadrasta, who's the overseer and the permitter, who's the supreme controller and the enjoyer, and he's known as the supersoul. So there is supervision going on, and that supervision is not haphazard. There's a person in every living entity's heart. He knows exactly what they're doing. He knows what they're desiring. He knows everything about this creation, and therefore everything is going on exactly as it's supposed to go on. It is not that Krishna makes a mistake sometimes, and sometimes someone gets rich and someone is starving somewhere because Krishna is asleep at the wheel. But don't worry, we're very nice people and even devotees of Krishna, so when Krishna overlooks someone, then we help out. Santa Claus didn't give someone some toys, then we slide in the chimney after him and throw in a few toys ourselves. The higher authorities is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our Lord Brahma, and all other Prajapatis and Manus. Thus, from the beginning of creation, it can be seen that the first creature is the most intelligent. So it is not that the first creature was bewildered, he didn't know what to do, and therefore he just pulled something out of the hat and tried to make, hoped for the best. No, that the first person, he knew exactly what to do, and Krishna made sure he knew what to do, because even before the creation, he went over the whole creation with Lord Brahma. And then after the creation, he had to remind him again. So although Lord Brahma is the most intelligent person in the universe, he had to study the Vedas three times to actually understand what it was really all about. And before he created, he He studied the Vedas three times. Then when he understood perfectly what to do, then he did it. So that's a good lesson for all of us. Not that I read some book and I don't understand what it says, but I'm embarrassed. It's showing that I'm not perfect, powerful, and happy. Therefore, I just go on and hope no one notices that I haven't understood what it was all about. Oh, even Lord Brahma had to hear, or at least go over three times it said he read the Vedas. Then he was able to do his service nicely. So we're not Lord Brahma, we have to study maybe four times so that we can actually hear what we're supposed to have heard. It is not so-called modern intelligence as developed by the gradual process of evolution. We notice in Prabhupada's purport, he says the same thing again and again. And even after saying it again and again, we usually miss it anyhow. Why? Because we don't pay attention. Because it's destroying our faith in what we hold dear. The bodily concept of life. It's a direct attack against my worshipful deity, this material body. You can hit me anywhere, but don't hit my false ego. As stated in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there's a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of superior authority. So we all got this promotion, the human form of life. It's actually a very important promotion, very rare. Durlabham, manusha, janma. To take birth as a human being is exceedingly rare. There are unlimited living entities inside this body, more than probably inside of one body. There are probably more parasites than there are people in Los Angeles. And they're all living entities. Some of them may have been mayors of Los Angeles in their previous lives. Or presidents of big nations. And now they're fighting with each other over something that we didn't digest. We understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities were existing. It is not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word dvasta tamasa is very important, for without being free of ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.1, Daiva Netrena, bodies are watered under the supervision of superior power. How can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of the living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic instructions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. Again, the translation in the Sanskrit. Te vayam nodita sarve prada sarge pradeshvaraha anena dvasta tamasa srishrikshmo vivida prada. When all the prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And became completely free from all ignorance. Thus we were able to create different types of living entities. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Siddharane. Prabhupada, during his preaching, he generally attack two conceptions or more, but especially two conceptions. One is about so-called going to the moon by the modern scientists, and the other was this Darwinian theory of evolution. Because it's not a theory, they don't have a theory. All they have is a name called Darwinian, and sometimes they use the word theory. But as we probably know, science, empirical science, is supposed to mean theory, and on the basis of that theory, you have some experiment to see if the theory is observable. So during the experiment, you're supposed to observe something. Whether your theory and the experiment are in agreement with each other. And then after observing the results of the experiment, then you're supposed to reach a conclusion. But for the theory of evolution, they have no theory. They have many, many ideas, and they keep on changing. They have no experiment to show anything. They have no observations that concur with their theory, but they only have a conclusion. And they call it science. But, obviously, the science, first of all, Krishna disproves this so-called idea that the soul is changing along with the body. First of all, Krishna establishes that there is a body, and the body is changing. But we ourselves, the observers within the body, that we ourselves are not changing. And that's observable by us, anyone who has any memory whatsoever. Can remember previous bodies that we were in, or they were in. And therefore, if I was in a 5-year-old body, and the body is different now, that means I'm not the body. Because if I was the body, then I would change along with the body. But due to ignorance and illusion, therefore, stubbornly, without any intelligence, one keeps on identifying oneself with the body, claiming that with the change of the body, the person within the body is changing. So that if Bill walked in to this temple 5 minutes later, he would be Bruce. And when his mother called Bill, he'd say, "Sorry, Bill disappeared. There's a new body now." Or people will say, "Yes, the body's changing, but it's still the same body. I have exactly the same body I had when I was in the womb of my mother." So just imagine the problems your mother must have had when she gave birth. In other words, only due to ignorance does one identify oneself with the body, or with a subtle mind, or even with our conception of life. Unfortunately, in the material world, everyone is in ignorance, an illusion, and therefore it's become quite popular. And since we're living in a democracy, if illusion and ignorance get enough votes, then it becomes the law. Doesn't become the law of nature, but it becomes a law in the kingdom of ignorance. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, while we're trying to convince people something so simple that their bodies are changing, but they themselves within the body are not changing, because people have no intelligence in Kali Yuga, although they're very proud of their advanced knowledge, but they can't even figure that out. They're claiming they know what's going on 5 billion years ago, but they can't even figure out what's going on right now. Therefore, we also have to explain to people not only your body's changing, but you yourself within the body are always the same, but we also have to explain to people sometimes other things, just like Druta Karma Prabhu, as you know, with the human evolutionary theory, or he wrote one book, Human Devolution, and what was the other one? The Hidden Archaeology. Sometimes we have to point these things out, that by your own methodology, you run into contradictions. You say that you have proof of something, but the very proof that you claim proves yourself to be wrong. You say that there is a mechanism, but you don't know what it is. They claim that there was Well, first of all, Lamarck claimed that there is a mechanism for evolution. That is, if a giraffe had a longer neck, then he would be more eligible to... Well, actually, Lamarck said that when the giraffe was trying to get the higher leaves on the tree, or the leaves that were higher on the tree, he'd stretch his neck. And by stretching his neck, he would develop his children, because his father had a long neck, or his mother had a long neck, the children would also have a long neck. Because they had no idea of genetics, that there was some other reason why giraffes have longer necks. So, of course, that's known now that we have a long neck not because our father and mother stretched their necks when we were, you know, when we were younger in the womb or something. There's other factors. Or they say that by adaptation of the species, The mechanism, they say, is they came up with the theory of radiation, mutation. But their very experiments proved that mutation was the cause of, or the mechanism for different species evolving by radiating Androphilus flies. They found out that the flies, they indeed change. Instead of having four wings, they have six wings or eight wings or six heads or whatever. But all those flies that were mutating, they all died. And ultimately, the ones that survived, they mutated back to the original fly. They couldn't change the species. They couldn't get another species. They got some variations in the same species, but they all turned out to be detrimental for the living entity, and therefore they died out. And the original ones were left, because those were the best ones. Or sometimes they claim that living in a polluted environment, certain moths in England had changed from white to black. And that was put in all the textbooks. But then they found out when they washed the moth, it would turn back to white. That indeed it changed from white to black, but not because of evolution, but because of all the pollution. And then they had the famous theories about the archaeology, where the different strata of rocks prove that there was an evolution of species. So they dug into the earth. They uncovered that actually things, they couldn't prove anything was evolving. The same cockroach, which was here 5 billion years ago, is still crawling around. They couldn't find any gradual evolution. They just found species, complete species in different layers of rocks. And indeed, their idea that something was gradually increasing, just like they, when I went to school in the biological textbooks, they had the horse. There was this horse, that horse, and they showed a little horse gradually supposedly evolving into a bigger horse. What they didn't point out was that the little horse was probably found in a much later rock strata than the big horse. It's like if you go in Belgium, where I go for a walk around Rotterdam, I have a nice place to walk. They have ponies there, and they also have big horses. So it's not like we only have one size horse. But in any case, they just put it together to trick people because they wanted to fool people. Or so many different things. So the rock strata didn't reveal any gradual evolution. The missing species were missing. Prabhupada used to say, the missing link is my foot to your head. So they couldn't find any missing links. And they couldn't find any mechanism for evolution. And they couldn't observe anything evolving. We don't walk down the street and seeing monkeys evolving out of, you know, rats or something. Therefore, it's For instance, as we know, you probably heard the analogy before, going through our family tree, our family book, looking back and back and back. Who would imagine that if you go far enough through your book of your ancestors, your family tree, that eventually you'll come to a page through your great-great-great-great-grandmother or something, all the way back, you see this person there or something full of hair with a big smile on their face, kind of a grin. And you ask your mother, who's that? And they say, well, that was Grandfather Harry. And that was Grandmother Lucy. You say, well, it looks pretty strange. And then you turn the page and you find two sheep. They say, well, that was our further ancestor. That was the black sheep in the family. And that was the good sheep. And you keep on turning. And then you find a mouse. Grandfather Squeaky. You say, wow, this is a really strange family tree. And Grandmother Squeaky. And then you turn the page and you finally find a rock. And you go, what's going on? Well, that was our original ancestors. And you turn one page and there's nothing there. That was Grandfather Void. And you read the caption, what happened? Well, Grandfather Void got really bored. People were claiming he'd never make anything out of himself. So Grandmother Void got on his case, and he got so angry he exploded one day. And he did something solid for a change. He became a rock. And as it goes, Grandmother Rock met Grandfather Rock, and they fell in love. And they gave birth to a mouse. The mouse gave birth eventually to some sheep, which gave birth to a monkey, and gave birth to our family tree. And you can still see our early ancestors, like our monkey, swinging from the tree. So this goes under the name of science. But obviously it's not science, it's science fiction. But certain science fiction makes a lot of money, that's all. You go to these museums, it's just high-class science fiction. They take a bone this big and make a dinosaur the size of this building. And that's called science. And according to how much intoxication the scientist takes, he has different ideas about how this bone, which is supposed to be coming from a huge dinosaur, what was eating, what was doing. So this is not science. But, as one famous personality said, if you tell a lie enough times, then people will believe it. You build a building, a museum the size of a temple, and people go in there for pilgrimage to offer their respects to the bones, worship them. So therefore, after some time, because people have less, they're not aware of simple reality, therefore they begin to believe these things. But our understanding is we don't have to go through an elaborate explanation to explain to people, because we can if we want to. But we just have to tell people, your body's changing. The body, the very body that we're in right now, is changing. But you yourself, who is aware of the body, you're not changing. Therefore, you're not the body. And because you're not the body, you haven't changed since you've been in the body, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the body. The body's going to keep on changing until the final change, but you're not going to change. Therefore, you should become aware of yourself. Your real self, not this, become fixed on this false identity. Not only that, but this universe is not going on accidentally. You didn't get this body by accident, and the next body you get will also not be by accident. It is not by accident. There are so many species of life. They're coming about according to people's desires, the living entity's desire. Shariram yadavapnoti yatschapyukramati shraha krihit vaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashaya. The living entities carry their different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma, unless they take one kind of body and again quit it to take another. So we've gotten this body not by accident, the soul, but it has been given to us according to our desires and our previous activities. So we have this human form of life by good fortune, but if we act in the bodily concept of life and simply aimlessly and endlessly gratify the demands of our senses, then we'll get a suitable body in our next lifetime. Maybe not that of a human being. That is why there are other species of life, like hogs and dogs and plants and fish and birds. Because the soul within the body made his choices in such a way that he became eligible to get a brand new 1977 up-to-date bird body. And why? Because that soul, that's what he heard. That's what he understood life was about. And because that's what he understood life was about, that's how he lived life. And he became eligible for his next life, next birth. But if we hear from authorities what is actually the situation, try to perceive with our intelligence whether it's true or not. In other words, if we can capture someone's intelligence enough so they understand that their body's changing, but they're not changing, that may awaken within them a desire to understand something more. That the sun's not rising in its orbit by accident, rising in the sky by accident, doesn't set by accident. The exact timing of the sun is not by accident. Snowflakes are not falling in precise geometric patterns by accident. We are not eating food, digesting the food, assimilating part of the food, eliminating part of the food. It is not by accident. It is an arrangement made by superior authorities, by persons who have inconceivable intelligence. So they can make such a nice creation and arrangements. And there's a purpose behind the creation beyond just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and claiming it's all by accident. Prabhupada used to point out, the scientists that claim it's by accident, everything's by accident, but when it comes time to get their degree in college, they don't stay at home believing that by accident they might get their degree in college. Or by accident I can stay at home and by accident I'll become rich. No, when they themselves want to do something, they use all their intelligence they possibly have to do it. To build a telescope or a microscope or an atomic bomb or a computer. They use all their intelligence, and when they come up with something which is just a poor imitation of what's already been created, they take all the credit and claim themselves to be the supreme. That if they could create a machine and put in grass one side and out the other side comes milk, certainly they take all the credit, the person would get a Nobel Prize. But God has already created such a machine. It's called the cow. Unfortunately, they don't give the cow the Nobel Prize, they kill the cow. As we know, God has created male and female machines. So, if the scientists can create a male Rolls Royce and a female Rolls Royce, when they get together to make little Rolls Royces, and you give them some gasoline and petroleum, some oil, and they grow up, they become big Rolls Royces, we'd be impressed. But they can't do that. But God has done that in 8,400,000 species of life. Unfortunately, they don't give him or his other engineers who's assisting him any credit. They try and take all the credit themselves. One fool's awarding another fool some award. For his so-called marvelous work. But, basically speaking, for all this advancement in technology, they're simply keeping people in ignorance about what is really essential knowledge, the difference between matter and spirit, and what the laws of karma are, why we've gotten this body, and what our future bodies will be. That's really essential knowledge. But that knowledge they're missing out on. Therefore, their whole civilization, Prahlad Maharaj said, Vimudan, humbug civilization. Super fools. Muda means fool, but he says Vimuda. He said, Prahlad Maharaj said, this civilization is made out of super fools. In spite of the negligence of so-called authorities for our propaganda of the difference between matter and spirit and the fact that there is a controller of both, it is not that we should become befooled and think, well, maybe I'm wrong, because all these educated philosophers and literary people and scientists, they don't agree with us. But the Bhagavatam doesn't agree with them. He says, the Bhagavatam says, Svavidra hostra karar samstuta purusha pashu yat karma patayopeto jatanama gadagraja. That men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they glorify other living entities who are bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So we don't decry the scientists. We give them credit for manufacturing airplanes and rocket ships and computers and videos, whatever. They give them that much credit. But we'd really give them more credit if they understood who they were and what the purpose of life is. Therefore, we give credit to the real scientists more than these little scientists. The real scientists like Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras. These are the real scientists. They can actually tell us reality. And if we follow their instructions, we'll be able to observe it for ourselves. So that is a real scientist. They give us the philosophy, the knowledge. They give us the experiment. They tell us what we'll probably observe. And when we do the experiment, we can experience it for ourselves. Otherwise, all this so-called advancement, where we can't even understand who we are, is said, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Just a waste of time. But they spend a lot of time wasting time. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Scientists and whatever, thinkers, about certain species that are becoming extinct. There's actual species becoming extinct in society today. Does that mean that nobody's thinking like those extinct living entities? Or
how do you know they're becoming extinct?
What's the cause behind that?
How do you know they're becoming extinct?
Well, you know, because they even have records. 100 years ago, there were so many tigers. And now today they count that many less tigers.
Yeah.
So why aren't there more tigers? If there's so many meat eaters, you know, they're eating more meat ever eaten in the history of the creation that we know of. And why aren't there tens of thousands of tigers?
There are, but they're not just, they left this planet. They didn't want the bad association.
For instance, birds, they have records.
Yeah,
they have
our understanding is that the 8,400,000 species of life are not just on this planet, this little tiny planet. There are unlimited planets. They appear on so many other planets. So how can you prove that we're right and how can you prove that we're wrong?
So our philosophy is that if you're here eating meat, you may not take birth again in this particular earth as a tiger, but you'll take birth in another earth as a tiger?
Someplace else, or we may not be so fortunate enough to take birth as a tiger. Yeah. Maybe people aren't eligible to take birth as the tigers anymore. But somewhere you'll get your karma, don't worry about it.
I'm just concerned in the fact of how to answer these questions because
The point is that we say that life is not just on this planet, and the 8,400,000 species are not just on this planet. But our point of reference is the fact that the soul is not the body. And the body is created quite intelligently, not by the soul, because we ourselves can't create the body. They're created by superior authority. And according to our superior authority, what they say is that these different species of life are not just on this planet. When they disappear from our vision here, it doesn't mean they've disappeared within the universe. They're simply appearing in another universe. Just like we can say that the demigod species have disappeared on this planet. There are none. But does that mean that there are no demigods? That there's no one controlling the sun and the moon? There's no one controlling these planets? No, there are. Because we can observe that these things are going on with intelligence. Therefore, there is an intelligent person behind them. So you may not see the demigods, but that doesn't mean that they're not there. You may not see who's controlling the water system within this building, but that doesn't mean that there's no one controlling it, because you don't see them. So your vision is limited. But first of all, try to use your intelligence so you can understand our first principle, the fact that your body's changing, but you're not changing. We can't get through that, then there's no sense going on to any other philosophy, because you can't understand even the most basic things. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.